Drilling for copper and gold could increase in northern Wisconsin next month under a mining company's plans. It's Friday, January 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Glad you could join us for the show today, and happy it's Friday. Coming up today, state revenue projections released yesterday are substantially higher than expected. And how Wisconsin's humble taverns shaped our history and built community. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is finding where you belong.
I was raised in central Wisconsin, growing up along the sides of shaded ginseng crops.
Deer Camp is more than a place. It is a unique state of mind and being.
I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me.
It draws you closer to each other and closer to the great circle of life.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
More drilling for copper and gold in northern Wisconsin could begin as soon as next month under a mining company's plans. As Danielle Kading reports, Greenlight Wisconsin wants to drill up to 20 holes to expand exploration in Taylor County.
The Bend deposit contains around 4 million tons of ore that has mostly copper-bearing sulfide minerals and gold. Steve Donahue is a director on Greenlight Wisconsin's board. He says the company is seeking approvals from the U.S. Forest Service and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Three holes would be in wetlands, and if we do decide to do those, we would need a wetlands permit from the DNR for that.
The company hasn't submitted a wetlands permit. Tribal and environmental advocates are worried that recent warm weather means the ground may not be frozen enough to protect wetlands. The DNR is reviewing changes to Greenlight's existing permits. The agency expects to issue a decision on the company's plans by the end of the month. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The state of Wisconsin's projected budget balance has jumped to $2.5 billion. That's about $1.5 billion larger than the state had previously been expecting. Wisconsin Policy Forum President Jason Stein says the growth was driven largely by corporate and income tax revenue. It comes after Governor Tony Evers and Republican lawmakers struck a deal that spent down a previous budget surplus.
I was impressed by the growth. I mean, when you think about continuing to see tax growth when we've already approved in this current two-year budget about $1.5 billion in income and sales tax cuts, it's notable.
Stein says there are still reasons to be cautious with the money. Wisconsin is facing a deficit in its Medicaid budget, and the federal government has been scrutinizing Wisconsin's recently enacted hospital assessment. If it's undone, that could cost the state $800 million. The state assembly advanced a bill this week to allow tipped workers to subtract some earnings from their income taxes. The bill would mean that people who earn tips at work, like servers or bartenders, would not pay state income tax on that money. It would cover up to $25,000 worth of tips. Representative Ron Tussler, Republican of Harrison, co-authored the bill. He argued that tips are different than other forms of income.
A tip is a way that we say thank you to someone who served you. If a server doesn't get tipped, they can't claim you stole their service in the same way that a restaurant could claim you stole their meal.
Some Democrats voted for the bill as well. Those opposed argued that there are broader ways of supporting low-wage workers, like raising the minimum wage. Fewer Wisconsinites signed up to receive health care coverage through the Affordable Care Act marketplace this year. That's according to new data from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. A record-breaking 307,000 Wisconsin residents enrolled in the Marketplace plans in 2025. Fewer than 290,000 have signed up for coverage this year. The decrease shows a snapshot of the effects of ACA tax credits expiring. Sarah Smith is with the Wisconsin Office of Commissioner of Insurance. She says rising Marketplace premiums will leave many people without coverage.
So those who work for small businesses, those who own small businesses, barbers, farmers, retired teachers, dentists, these are all people in our communities who rely on this marketplace coverage and really don't have anywhere else to turn.
Smith says Wisconsin hospital systems could see uncompensated care costs increase as people no longer are able to afford coverage. With dozens of committee hearings and hundreds of bills up for debate, the state legislature is in full swing this month. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk joined Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to give a firsthand perspective as both parties look to get their agendas across the finish line.
Anya, there are some weeks when the state capitol building is pretty quiet, and then there's this week. We've had more than two dozen committee meetings on Wednesday alone. The full assembly has met a couple times. They're meeting again next week. Bills are flying. For people out there who are not familiar, what's going on in the Wisconsin legislature?
Yeah, I mean, hundreds of bills are flying around, although the vast majority are quiet, bipartisan, kind of small tweaks to your daily life, things like when to remove vegetation that obstructs outdoor signs. But of course, there are some big ticket items coming through as well. There are proposed changes to the Constitution, a response to the trial of Judge Hannah Dugan, potentially exempting cash tips from income taxes, a proposed ban on gender-affirming healthcare for minors, defining grooming as a felony offense. So to answer your question, there is a lot going on over here in lots of small ways and then some very big ways.
Then just kind of a process question that we get every couple years. It is January right now. If you go around other states, they are just beginning their legislative sessions. And here we are talking about the end. Why is that?
Yeah, we have a biennial legislature. And so that means we spread our lawmaking out over well over a year. And technically, this could continue on for a while. But as things are currently calendared, things will likely start to quiet down in March. And that is in large part because both parties will want to start shifting much of their attention to election campaigns.
Yeah, and you know, I'm tempted to say it's always been this way with this kind of rush to get done in February, March. So I looked back knowing we were going to talk about this, and the first session I covered, you know, around 20 years ago, the legislature adjourned in May. So no, it has not always been this way. Process aside, though, big picture, why are they holding a bunch of these sessions all at once?
Well, there is a lot of business to get through for all the reasons I just laid out. And some of that work involves real governance. So, for example, that bill to define grooming, that's a pattern of behavior where an adult entices a minor into sexual conduct. That bill makes that a felony, and it passed the assembly with a vast majority of yes votes from both sides of the aisle. But then some of these bills have more to do with messaging. So Republicans passed a bill about not paying judges if they are suspended and under criminal investigation. And that is a very clear response to Milwaukee Judge Hannah Dugan. And so getting that on the docket now allows them to leverage that issue while people still remember the trial, not because it necessarily will have a real kind of legislative impact. And then personally, I think some of this has to do with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He told me that he doesn't yet know if he'll run for re-election. So if he does step down as the state's longest serving speaker, as this enormously powerful legislative leader, now would be a really great time for him to shore up any kind of last priorities.
And there is one wrinkle to the end of session this year. Wisconsin Eye, where you co-host a weekly show, has paused its operations. Wisconsin Eye is like Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN. So normally we'd have live video of these legislative sessions and committees, but not right now. What do we know about when they might come back, and what's been the legislature's response while they're gone?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Eye is facing a huge funding deficit, and so they are trying to raise money to get back on the air. And in the meantime, it's not just that we're not seeing them filming these proceedings. Actually, now rules that existed before about who can record Capitol proceedings, they are being enforced in a way that I've never seen before, other Capitol press has never seen before, where only credentialed press can record at a lot of hearings and sessions now. Members of the public cannot. And we've also heard lawmakers cracking jokes about, you know, thank goodness the public didn't hear that because WSI isn't here. So it's been a pretty immediate change felt in the halls of the Capitol. Democrats held a press conference calling for WSI to come back, but they don't really have the power to make that happen. And Evers also said, you know, something has to be done about this, but he also said that he will not support releasing state funds, at least with no strings attached.
That was WPR's state capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk speaking with WPR political editor Sean Johnson. Coming up, Wisconsin Life looks at how taverns built the state's history. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Sarah Hopeful with a story about Wisconsin's bar culture.
In Wisconsin, for better or worse, drinking can be more than a pastime. It's a social ritual woven into the state's culture. Writer Patty C. takes us on a bar crawl to explore how Wisconsin's humble taverns shaped our history and built community.
I recently went on my fifth almost annual Cousins Tavern tour. Our theme was neighborhood bars. Without a beer sign in the window, the establishment might as well blend in as another house on the block. Bobby Schradel's mother and mine were sisters. He and his wife Connie lived just down the highway from my husband and me and picked us up on a 90-degree afternoon for our first stop, Burley's in Chippewa Falls. The four of us step into the cool air of that dark bar and never want to leave. In 1997, Brian Krista bought what was once The Mint, then Pepe's, and called it by his nickname. Burley tells us the history of the wooden back bar, an intricate beauty that was stained mahogany to cover up damage from a fire long before any of us was born. For Burley's 20th anniversary here, his buddy gifted him an enormous fiberglass fish head bought on eBay. It's been mounted on the wall for 5 years. Burley isn't sure who put the little rubber ducky in its mouth or when. Next is Raleigh's Coach Club in Altoona, owned by Raleigh Nusala since 1986. Happy Hour attracts 20-somethings in scrubs and 80-somethings in beauty parlor curls. A round of drinks costs us $10. We play Shake a Day, and Connie carries home a six-pack. We're old. This summer, we can only make 3 stops in a day. Our final, Amber Inn, the longest-running bar in Eau Claire. It was built in 1881 by Walter's Brewery to sell their product. 100 years later, Orv and Pat Johnson bought the place. Included in the sale was a 1910 photo of patrons posing on the sidewalk out front. A surprise in the crowd, Orv's grandfather. The Johnsons have run Amber Inn the past 44 years. Their current slogan, "You're a stranger here but once," has a timeless feel, which might have appealed to barflies in the last 2 centuries. We order fish and burgers, sip our ice-cold beer, and watch Orv fry our food in a prep area about the size of my kitchen counter. The menu claims that galley space is where all the magic happens. The cheese curds are so spectacular that even my chatty cousins finally stop talking. Edward Slingerland, author of Drunk, How We Sipped, Danced, and Stumbled Our Way to Civilization, claims that 3,000 years before organized agriculture, hunter-gatherers came together not to break bread, but to brew beer. From an evolutionary standpoint, alcohol helped aggressive, untrusting primates build cooperative and successful societies. In that regard, Slingerland says intoxication is part of the story of what makes us human. Wisconsinites' relationship with drinking is complicated. Having a few beers together builds camaraderie, decreases inhibitions, and increases a flow state for creativity. Turns out, it's also a part of our biological history. This cheap, socially acceptable drug makes intoxication the basis of what Slingerland calls the economy of human desires. Or as Amber Inn advertises, "Go ahead, have a couple, you'll feel better."
Patty C. is a writer from Lake Halley. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A winter weather advisory in effect for parts of central and eastern Wisconsin this morning. Cloudy today with some snow at times and high temperatures in the 20s and 30s. It'll be windy as well today with gusts near 20 miles per hour at times. Overnight windy and cold with lows down into the single digits. And it's going to stay pretty cold across Wisconsin throughout the weekend. That'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.